This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Well, maybe it was my fault. With our problems we had Sunday, forgot to change out some cords on the soundboard, so we should be up and going now on Blog Talk, hopefully. Everybody's got me now, maybe. Let me know, my wife out there, I know you're sending me the message that there was no sound. Let me know that I got it now. So anyway, MK Ultra program. Let's get Pastor Dean's take on this.
Here's some thoughts about the Las Vegas.
Wasn't quite ready for that just yet. But, here's Pastor Dean on his takes today on this Prophecy Quake Alert. Stay with us.
Hey, everyone. This is Pastor Dean Odell here. This is something we're going to start trying to do more of, short videos, Prophecy Quake Alert, I guess you might call it. But I just wanted to share some thoughts about the Las Vegas shooting. I know that a lot of people have jumped to the gun control issue and the gun control discussion. And, of course, this has all the smell of a false flag on it. Just all this stuff about multiple shooters. So many different witnesses are talking about multiple shooters. And, of course, the mainstream media, law enforcement, pushing this idea of a lone gunman. It sounds so familiar, kind of like the Kennedy assassination almost. But, let's just hear. I recorded this little clip from Fox News last night of a witness. And, again, there's multiple witnesses talking about multiple shooters. And I'm just going to say this just has the smell of a deep state Illuminati false flag to, again, push the agenda of gun control, because they must disarm the United States to create the new world order. But just listen to this one eyewitness that was at the Las Vegas shooting. She talks about running from where the bullets were hitting, and yet as she was running away and going through back alleys and roads, that it sounded like the gunshots got closer and closer, which would indicate gunfire from two different locations. But, let's just hear the eyewitnesses.
When you finally recognized what would actually happen, you looked out and you saw what was happening and people scattering, what did you see?
We just ran. I was with two other girls. We lost each other immediately. We all went in three different directions. One friend ended up hiding in a dumpster outside of McCarran by the tarmac. Another one got in an SUV with also three victims. Yeah. And I just ran to the left, but the farther away through back roads away from the strip, and the farther I ran, the gunfire got louder, and it felt like it was getting closer, like they were right behind you, which led us to believe, think there were multiple shooters. It sounded like there was just, they were super close behind us.
Yeah.
And the farther they ran, the closer they got.
Many lives are changed.
Now might be the ricocheting of bullets.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Taylor, thanks for sharing your story with our audience. Sorry you both had to go through that. And our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with the families, as I'm sure many parents now with their kids in the hospitals, and they don't know the outcome of this.
And so you heard it from that eyewitness that Sounded like gunfire coming from multiple locations. But whether or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to tell you. All these mass shootings are demonically inspired. I mean, whether it's just demon-possessed people or people who are, you know, MK Ultra people, or even, you know, I mean, even deep state people that are loyal to the satanic Luciferian global elite. But make no mistake about it. Their goal is to disarm America. Their goal is to push the gun control issue or to push such chaos in our country until they can justify an invasion of the UN into our country. And that is the goal, to create a new world order, a one world government via the UN. And to do that, they've got to defeat America, defeat the Constitution of the United States, particularly the Second Amendment, disarm the American people so they can conquer us. And that is the ultimate goal. So whether it is just demonically possessed lone gunmen, or whether it is Illuminati deep state agents who are perpetrating these crimes and then shoot a patsy in the head and claim he committed suicide, it doesn't, you know, we can debate all these different ideas, but regardless, the agenda of Satan and the demons and the Luciferian Satan worshiping elite is to disarm America. And create a world government, an anarchist world government via the United Nations. That's the agenda. And that's why you see all these mass shootings. That's why they've used multiple techniques to do these things. But the goal and the ultimate end and the satanic agenda is to disarm Americans so that they can conquer us and create a world government. So don't ever let that slip from you. That is the agenda. So, again, Pastor Dean Odle here. This is October 3rd, 2017. Stay safe. Stay close to Jesus out there. He is truly our only refuge. God bless.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's Pastor Dean's little prophecy quake alert from earlier this morning. Now, to get into this a little bit, you know, he even mentioned, you know, the MK Ultra, this guy possibly being that or part of it. You know, the MK Ultra program, here's a little article I'm going to read to you about it. And it's pretty good. And this article was from 2013. It's from gizmodo.com. When the extent of the U.S. government's domestic spying program was revealed this past summer, many were surprised and outraged. How could a government which so prizes liberty of its citizens covertly collect data on its own people? Yet sadly, this is not the first time Uncle Sam, without permission or notice, secretly gathered information on its people and wasn't even close to the greatest atrocity. For that, there are numerous other examples, such as when the government intentionally poisoned certain alcohol supplies they knew people would drink, killing over 10,000 American citizens and sickening many thousands of others. Now, I don't know about that. That's just part of this article. One other such interesting program was from 1953 to 1964. They say 64. Believe it went on much longer than that, and I believe get on down further in the article, Bill Clinton had to admit this had been going on and that had stopped. But you know our government, they don't stop anything, they just tell you they do. So one other such interesting program was from 1953 to 1964 when the Central Intelligence Agency conducted dozens of experiments on the effects of biological and chemical agents on American citizens without their knowledge in Project MK Ultra. These covert tests included subjecting the unwitting subjects to hallucinogenic drugs and other chemicals, among other things. It is difficult to find official documents about this program. However, in 1976 and 77, the U.S. Senate conducted investigations and even held a joint committee hearing on Project MK Ultra, then published much of what was discovered. You will not believe what they found out. MK Ultra's purpose. According to the hearing report, the project was intended to develop a capability in the covert use of biological and chemical materials. The motivation was also defensive in that many were afraid during the Cold War that the Russians and Chinese had already developed weapons in this area, as the project's proponents noted. Officially authorized in 1953, by 1955, Project CREEP had expanded the CIA's authority under MKUltra to include the following: discovery of the following materials and methods, which will promote the intoxicating effect of alcohol, which will render the induction of hypnosis easier or otherwise enhance its usefulness, which will enhance the ability of individuals to withstand privation, torture, coercion during the interrogation, and so-called brainwashing, which will produce amnesia for events preceding and during their use, which will produce shock and confusion over extended periods of time and capable of surreptitious use, and which will produce physical disablement such as paralysis of the legs and acute anemia. LSD experiments. Senator Edward Kennedy dominated the hearing in his opening remarks. He noted there was an extensive testing and experimentation program which included covert drug tests on unwitting citizens at all social levels, high, low, Native Americans, and foreign. Several of these tests involved the administration of LSD to unwitting subjects in social situations. For many of these drug tests, especially early on, there were no medical personnel on hand either to administer the drugs or observe their effects. Often, the randomly selected subjects had become ill for hours or days, including hospitalization in at least one case. Even more troubling, some of the tests proved lethal, but that did not stop the CIA from continuing their experiments. The deaths of two Americans can be attributed to these programs. Other participants in the testing program may still suffer from the residual effects. The fact that they were continued for years after the danger of surreptitious administration of LSD to unwitting individuals was known demonstrate fundamental disregard for the value of human life. Dr. Frank Olson, himself a researcher with the U.S. Army who studied the developing techniques for offensive use of biological weapons and biological research for the CIA, along with a group of nine scientists, attended a conference in a cabin at Deep Creek Lake, Maryland, in November 1953. Going down, Dr. Olson's superiors and CIA who ran the experiment arranged for him to get treatment. He was drugged, and he did not have a very good reaction to the drugs. He became paranoid and schizophrenia, and the CIA superior who ran the experiment arranged for him to get treatment in New York City while spending the night in the hotel room with the CIA officer. And after requesting a wake-up call for the next morning, Dr. Olson somehow managed to fall to his death, as the CIA officer reported. Universities, prisons, and hospitals conducted experiments. In the hearing, Senator Kennedy noted that many otherwise respectable institutions were fraudulently incorporated into MKUltra projects. What we are basically talking about is the perversion and corruption of many of our outstanding research centers in this country with CIA funds, where some of our top researchers were unwittingly involved in research sponsored by the agency in which they had no knowledge of the background or the support for. So, according to the hearing report, 86 universities or institutions were involved, and 185 non-government researchers and assistants worked on these projects. Physicians, toxicologists, and other specialists in mental and narcotic were lured into MKUltra through the provisions of grants that were made under ostensible research foundation auspices, thereby concealing the CIA's interest from the specialists' institution. For some of the 12 hospitals that participated in the MKUltra test were conducted on terminal cancer patients, presumably because the experiments were anticipated to have long-lasting detrimental, if not lethal, effects. Sadly, to get the hospitals and perhaps the patients to agree to these experiments, the CIA often paid the institutions. Likewise, many of the experiments conducted at the three prisons were done secretly. We also know now that some unwitting testing took place on criminal sexual psychopaths. Not all testing was done unwittingly, although that did not make it any more ethical. For example, in prison experiment conducted by the National Institute of Mental Health Addiction Research Center at the Lexington Rehabilitation Center, a prison for convicted drug addicts, prisoners who volunteered to participate in a hallucinogenic drug experiment were promised and received doses of the drug of their addiction. So, heinous covert experiments by the numbers. Project MKUltra consisted of 149 sub-projects, many of which appear to have some connection with research into behavioral modification, drug acquisition, and testing or administering drugs surreptitiously, including as follows. 6 sub-projects involving tests on unwitting subjects were conducted, 8 sub-projects involving hypnosis, 7 sub-projects including the use of drugs or chemicals, and so on. The CIA lost or destroyed all records of Project MKUltra. Sadly, but not surprisingly, almost no records remain of the 10 years of covert activity, as Senator Kennedy noted. No accountability. 2 lawsuits arising out of MKUltra activities made it to the Supreme Court, but both protected the government over citizens' rights. In 1985, the court held a CIA versus Sims that the names of the institutions and the researchers who participated in the project were exempt from revelation. In 1987, the United States v. Stanley, the court held that a serviceman who had volunteered for a chemical weapons experiment but who was actually tested with LSD was barred from bringing a claim against the Federal Tort Claims Act. So there you go. There's a little bit of history on the MKUltra program. So basically, they were using LSD to brainwash and train these people to react to certain code words or code phrases or certain things that to happen that would get them to respond in a certain way, such as you tell them blue chickens and they go out and they shoot up a movie theater or something, you know, whatever the code word might be and whatever their task they were trained to do would happen. So it would not surprise me if this guy that denied people in Las Vegas was part of this project, because his age, the age he is, fits right in line with where the MK Ultra program spanned through. So that's a little bit of that. Is he part of it? The MK Ultra program, we'll never know. I mean, that is not something that is going to come out in the days ahead or weeks ahead. We'll never know. But as Pastor Dean was talking about, you know, these are demonic controlled people, and the agenda of the one world government is do anything to bring down the United States. So these people that are part of the MK Ultra program, the CIA, our government, the deep state, whatever, I mean, this is the enemy from within. You know, I saw an article right before we came on the air from WorldNet Daily. The headline from WorldNet Daily is a little bit misleading, but I'll get into the article for you in just a minute. Shooter in Bloody Vegas Gun Massacre was longtime federal agent. More than 48 hours after the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history, police still don't have a motive for the horrific crime, but a more complete profile of the killer is beginning to emerge. Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter who killed 59 people at a country music festival, worked over a 10-year period as a letter carrier for the U.S. Postal Service, an IRS agent, and an auditor for the U.S. Department of Defense. A spokeswoman for the Federal Office of Personnel Management told the Associated Press Tuesday that Paddock's employment included 2 years as a mail carrier from 1976 to 78. That was followed by a 6-year stint with the Internal Revenue Service until 1984, And then he worked as a defense auditor for about 18 months. Defense auditors are required to undergo background checks to receive security clearance. The latest revelation suggests the U.S. government should have an extensive file on their former employee, Stephen Paddock, who not only worked directly for the government for 10 years, but then worked another year and a half for federal weapons contractor Lockheed Martin. With this institutional knowledge of how the federal bureaucracy works, Paddock was anything but the typical mass shooter. He would have been able to cover his tracks in the planning stages of his attack. So then it goes on to talk about ISIS, and they've doubled down, and they're saying that he converted to Islam and all that, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't, don't know. That may or may not come out depending on the agenda of the media. They want to keep things like that quiet. They don't want us to know that he was Islamic, if he was or not. So, you know, this, there's a lot of evidence, a lot of evidence that there were multiple shooters in this. I saw a video of a taxi driver. She was videoing with her cell phone. She was parked at the hotel, the Mandalay Hotel, and you could hear the gunfire right over the top of her car. I mean, just bop, 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 real loud. And then you would hear it off in the distance. Well, I wrote that off as an echo. But then a little bit late, not long more in the video, you hear it off in the distance. But then you hear it over the top of her head even a little bit further longer. So it was not an echo. There was right over the top of her head and off in the distance. You could hear it plain as day on the video. And you know, and that goes along with a lot of these eyewitness reports, and especially what the one Pastor Dean showed. There's multiple videos that of people saying there were multiple shooters. So, and the video of the taxi cab driver, you know, they're telling us that Paddock was on the 32nd floor, but the video of the taxi cab driver showed muzzle flash on the fourth floor. So, I mean, we don't even know. I mean, we may never know what actually happened in Las Vegas. I mean, there's just the government and the media want to keep this quiet. You know, there was that, the Church of Christ shooting by I believe he was Sudanese man in Tennessee, got zero news coverage for the most part. And that does not fit the narrative. This fits their narrative of get rid of our guns, to do away with, you know, the NRA. And, you know, of course, Hillary Clinton came out within minutes of the shooting saying we got to stand up to the NRA and all this kind of stuff. I mean, no waste, no time. You know, no tragedy goes without them jumping into it politically. They can't just pray for our country and let that be for a while. They've got to, oh, we got to get rid of the guns right away. You know, so, you know, that's going to take me over here with what they're wanting to do with the UN and, you know, come in and take over America and get rid of, because the one world government has got to come. I mean, it's coming whether we want it or not, and they've got to be able to cripple the United States to get her out of the way, because we are really one of the only things standing in the way of this one world government coming, you know, is our Constitution and, you know, and all the guns that are in our country, you know. And I found this very interesting. The communist takeover of America, 45 declared goals. So, you know, and that's what we're looking at. I mean, if you really go back, you really look at communism and socialism and what all that is about, and you compare what they're about to what our left-wing Democrats are about, they basically line up. I mean, there's not a lot of difference. And I found these 45 goals very interesting. And, you know, and a lot of them have already happened. Most of them, even maybe even all of them but one, have all happened. So I'm going to read this little article. It was, I'm assuming, December the 4th of 2002, maybe, was this guy wrote this. You're about to read a list of 45 goals that found their way down the halls of our great capital back in 1963. As you read this, it says 39 years later, but we're a little further away than that. You should be shocked by the events that have played themselves out. I first ran across this list 3 years ago, but was unable to obtain a copy, and it has bothered me ever since. Recently, Jeff Rentz posted it on his site, and I would like to thank him for doing so. That's rense.com. I don't even know if it's still available. Number one, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Four, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Five, extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Six, provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist domination. Seven, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. Eight, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under the supervision of the UN. Nine, prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. Number 10, allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other as they are now doing in the Congo. End parentheses. 12, resist any attempts to outlaw the Communist Party. 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. 15, capture one or both political parties in the United States. Boy, hasn't that happened. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. 18, gain control of all student newspapers. 19, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Wow. 20, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. If these aren't coming to pass. 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. 23, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, and meaningless art. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. My stars. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Number 30, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Well, that's about pretty much happened now. They've been discredited for sure. And you might as well dismantle it because it is being useless. Infiltrate, number 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. Number 40, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudice, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influences of parents. 42, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, and social problems. Antifa, there you go. Overall, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. 44, internationalize the Panama Canal. 45, repeal the Conley Reservation so the United States cannot prevent the World Court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. Give the World Court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. That was 45. So, that is, I know that's long. I appreciate y'all staying with me on that. You know, this is Greg Swank. Over the years, I have shared in debates and discussions regarding the current state of affairs in the U.S. and changing social climate of this great nation since the baby boomer generation society and its cultures have become noticeably different than the way it was 50 years ago, from the late 50s to the 70s. A series of events took place contributing to the way we are currently living. So, I mean, this is the communist goals for taking over America. You know, a lot of this has taken place. I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, discredit American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. I mean, that's just insane. You know, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal. Well, if we don't see that. You know, so I got to thinking, okay, so this is communist takeover of America's goals. Who are some of the groups that adhere to communism? And I just typed in list of communist organizations operating in the U.S., and I got one, and let me tell you, it's pretty long. It's a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. But a couple of them stood out to me. You know, your Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism, Communist Party of the USA. That one really stood out to me. They actually have a Facebook page, Communist Party of the USA. The Democratic Socialist of America, that one. The Green Party of the United States. Independent Progressive Politics Network. I mean, there's just this whole list. Black Radical Congress, American Indian Movement. I don't know about all these. So the Labor Party, Left Party, Left Green Network, New Democracy, New Liberty Party, New Union Party. I mean, goodness, there's, I don't know, I didn't even count them. There's a lot. U.S. Marxist-Leninist Organization. I mean, so all these groups, they want to have these communist goals in place. And Antifa, anti-fascists, they call themselves, are the most fascist group of people within the United States that are coming against fascism, which is just ironic. You know, and they're all funded. These people are, it's documented, these people are funded by George Soros and, you know, his Nazi ideas and all this stuff. So, you know, I just don't even know. This is so amazing to me that we have these groups that are protesting in the United States about the United States. I mean, there was a chant at one of these Antifa rallies, I believe it was no Trump, no wall, no USA at all. I mean, I wonder if these people really understand what they're asking for. Or are they just really so demonically controlled that they don't care, that they don't realize? I mean, it's just hard for me to fathom. I mean, I love our country. You know, I say all the time that I should have went in the military. I was on the verge of it. I was right there getting ready to sign papers and couldn't do it. You know, and when, you know, I would have went to the Gulf War in 91, and I had friends that went. You know, and I look back on that, and because I love our country so much, I do regret not going into the military, especially after 9/11 happened. I was really too old then. I couldn't go. Surely I'm too old now. But I love our country, and I love the freedoms that we have. And I don't understand. It's hard for me to even wrap my mind around how these people that live in this country want the governments of Russia, China, North Korea to be their government. They want to live under that oppressive, murderous regimes that have killed millions of people. The Bolshevik Revolution, the Communist Revolution, you know, the, was it Mao Zedong and all these in China? And I mean, they just killed millions and millions and millions of people. And the people in the United States want this type of government to live under. It just, I mean, it blows my mind. I'm looking at an article here. I can't remember who posted it online now. It was one of the colonels. I haven't drawn a blank on his name. It's from Clash Daily with Doug Giles. It says, Antifa plans civil war to overthrow Trump. Patriots be like, say when. Yeah, you want to overthrow Trump? You're going to have a lot of people to go through before you get to that point. It says here, who exactly do they think they're picking a fight with? They're anarchists. We know that, right? And anarchists are basically cowards. Their goal is to pick a fight between two factions, whip up invective and hatred with a little help from their friends in the media and the DNC. Then they can skulk back into the shadows. From the shadows, they can watch the nation tear itself apart. You realize, of course, that the world would follow the same flowchart that has been proven so effective in Russia, 1917, revolutionary France, as well as revolts, revolutions in a variety of destabilized nations that, when the dust had settled, would raise red and yellow themed flags reminiscent of the ones Antifa is now seen flying. I mean, they have the sickle and the hammer red flags from Russia, SSR. in these pictures. I mean, no wonder they are delegitimizing the police. They want America to fall, and they know it can only fall if it collapses from within. They want us divided by race, class, region, and politics. I'm assuming that might be religion and politics. That said, if they pick a fight with American patriots, how do they think it will end? They're packing what? For the most part, sticks, bricks, clubs, mace, urine bottles, and impromptu hairspray bottle flamethrowers. If you show up for a real fight and don't melt like cowards back into the shadows hiding behind human shields, you'll soon figure out what we really mean, foreign and domestic. You'll soon figure out why the British cut their losses and ran. You'll soon figure out why our love for the flag and institutions it represents motivates us better than your hatred for the flag as you cash your literally treasonous check to foment revolution in your own country, not caring how deep the blood ran at the last Civil War. So when Antifa agitators supposedly attacking white supremacists, you know, like the photojournalists doing their job in Berkeley, like the Japanese man and his Samoan bodyguard who were on their way to a prayer rally, or torching a limousine owned by a man named Muhammad. Don't forget what their real motives are and call them out. This is who they really are, taken from one of their own websites. We will gather in the streets and public squares of the cities and towns across this country. At first, many thousands declaring that this whole regime is illegitimate and that we will not stop until our single demand is met. The nightmare must end. The Trump-Pence regime must go. Our protests must grow day after day and night after night, thousands becoming hundreds of thousands and then millions, determined to act and to the grave danger the Trump-Pence regime poses to the world by demanding that this whole regime be removed from power. Our actions will reflect the values of respect for all humanity and the world we want, in stark contrast to the hate and bigotry of the Trump-Pence fascist regime. Our determination to persist and not back down will compel the whole world to take note. And it goes on. You know, these guys, it's just, you know, they came down here to Auburn one time to protest a speaker that was going to be on Auburn University campus. You know, this speaker that was going to be there was not sanctioned by the university. He bought and paid for the building and the time to rent the building. I don't even remember the guy's name now. I mean, he was a controversial figure in the white, supposedly white supremacist side of things. I don't really know that much about him. But, you know, they came down here with their covered faces and their mask and bandanas around their face. And the Auburn Police Department was not having any of it. They made them take their mask off, show themselves who they were before they can continue on with their protest. And if they didn't, they were arrested, because there is a little law that prohibits that in Alabama from covering your face at protests and stuff like that. I think that might have stemmed out of the civil rights issues, civil rights movements and stuff, dealing with the KKK and all that. But I've got a little documentary that's about 37 minutes long. It's called America Under Siege, Antifa. This guy does a phenomenal job of going through the Antifa and what they are all about. And I want you to watch this and stay with it, because this is so informative. And it is just, it's a great documentary. I've watched it two or three times now. So here it is, America Under Siege, Antifa. And sorry, guys, producing and hosting. It takes me a minute to get things switched around. But here you go.
My name is Trevor Loudon. I'm a writer and filmmaker from Christchurch, New Zealand. I have spent the last several years in America and have addressed more than 400 audiences in over 40 states. My mission is to expose the influence of radical and terrorist groups in the mainstream political parties, academia, media and the culture. In my recent travels, I've come across two phrases more and more often: Antifa and civil war. But who is Antifa? Why are they organizing? What are their goals? I knew from my 30 years of studying radical movements that Antifa would likely be connected to more mainstream leftist organizations. I knew that Antifa was a reincarnation of the so-called Black Bloc, a protest tactic where gangs of black-clad masked street protesters engage in anonymous violence. These were the anti-Iraq war radicals who rampaged through San Francisco's financial district in 2003. The Black Bloc were part of the Occupy Wall Street movement of 2011. They were responsible for massive amounts of damage and chaos. The Black Bloc came back after the 2016 presidential elections, this time as Antifa. Even more violent, smashing property and viciously assaulting all those who opposed them. There was also another difference. Numerous reports from victims and media alike of police refusal to intervene in incidents of violence. I became increasingly appalled by regular displays of extreme violence and disgusted by a mainstream media which either ignored, excused, or even glorified the thuggery.
I think that a lot of people recognize that when pushed, self-defense is a legitimate response to white supremacist and neo-Nazi violence.
I decided to do some digging. I immersed myself in the deepest recesses of the internet. Then I reached out to some of Antifa's most prominent opponents. And even if I didn't agree with them on many things, I sought out the most active warriors against Antifa. Steve Dace is a political commentator, host of the Steve Dace Show on CRTV, and a nationally syndicated talk show host.
You know, so much of what we are living through now actually comes from what happened in Italy in the 20s and the 30s, where you saw the clashes between the fascists and the Marxists there. And that's where Antifa comes from, the anti-fascists, people that wanted to go after the Mussolini regime.
Leon Trotsky, creator and leader of the Soviet Red Army, formed the first Antifa-type units, groups of armed paramilitary thugs used to suppress opposition to communism in the year leading up to the Bolshevik Revolution. The Antifa concept was so successful that Trotsky spread it through Italy, Germany, and other European countries communists were targeting for takeover. Antifa gained fame in the years prior to the Nazi takeover of Germany in 1933. The German Communist Party and the Social Democrats set up Antifa units to wage war on Hitler's street thugs, the brown shirts.
From an ideological perspective, it's a sibling rival. Hey, we're the thugs around here. No, we're the thugs. Hey, we're the gangsters here. No, we're the gangsters. Hey, we're the tyrants here. No, we're going to be the tyrants.
After the Nazis destroyed Antifa and the Communist Party, many former left-wing militants switched sides to the Nazis.
It makes sense they would switch sides to the Nazis because they have the same exact plan. They have the same exact scheme. They have the same exact devices. The only difference is which group gains control. And so ultimately, if the other group gains control of this battle of the wills, if you will, then, you know, if you get them, join them.
One internal SA report claimed that 55% of the brown shirt ranks were former communists or socialists. They called them beefsteak Nazis, brown on the outside, red in the center. In the 1980s, black-clad, ski mask-wearing protesters known as the Anonymous rampaged through German streets protesting against visiting American President Ronald Reagan.
I have read and I have been questioned since I've been here about certain demonstrations against my coming, and I would like to say just one thing, and to those who demonstrate so, I wonder if they have ever asked themselves that if they should have the kind of government they apparently seek, no one would ever be able to do what they're doing again.
Antifa resurfaced in the early 1990s. German communists and anarchists joined forces to combat gangs of neo-Nazi skinheads coming out of formerly communist East Germany. British communists and anarchists formed similar units to fight the British National Front. Opposition to a handful of real fascists soon morphed into violence against any opponent of the far-left agenda. The German Intelligence Service website explains that to Antifa, the word fascist has two meanings. Firstly, genuine Nazis. Secondly, anyone who supports the Western free enterprise system, capitalism. Lauren Southern is a Canadian journalist and free speech activist. She has encountered and confronted Antifa in Vancouver, Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, New York, and Berkeley, California. Sheltered, nurtured, and funded by left-wing city councils, Antifa became well-established across Germany, especially in the formerly communist East.
I have places in Germany, entire cities that I've gone to that are like known as Antifa towns and have their stickers all over, and they can't set up police stations there or they'll be shut down and raided and attacked by this militant group. And they've just become a thing since Trump's election in America. They've really just started to get a wave of popularity there. And I'm worried that it's going to get as bad as it is in Europe. I was interviewing a young man in Germany who was like, please blur my face. Please distort my voice in this interview. He wasn't saying anything particularly offensive, just something with a remote right wing that would be a moderate idea in America. And he was so afraid because he said Antifa in Germany would put him on their website and on their lists, and they might hurt his child. They might come after his job, his livelihood, crash his home. There are plenty of stories of the homes of fascists being raided and all their things being smashed.
Milo Yiannopoulos is an English-born, American-based political commentator, media personality, and journalist. Milo's speaking events have been attacked by Antifa on several occasions, forcing him to spend $500,000 a year on personal security.
Antifa is an organization that claims to fight fascism, being anti-fascist, but is actually, you know, the most fascist organization probably in the United States, dedicated to, you know, closing down by violent means the speech of libertarians and conservatives and basically anybody they don't like. And who they don't like is a net cast very wide.
Gavin McInnes was a co-founder of Vice Media, has challenged Antifa repeatedly in New York and Washington, D.C. As a teenage anarchist punk, Gavin McInnes fought Nazi skinheads on the streets of Ottawa and Montreal.
When I did my talk at NYU, I got pepper sprayed. They wouldn't let my guys in, so they stayed and fought. Two of them got arrested, and they're just fighting a mob. I went and did my talk like this. You can barely see, because it keeps dripping into your eyes from your forehead, no matter how much you clean it. And they were screaming, "Whose camp? Our campus. Whose camp is our campus?" In a catatonic state. And I went over to my microphone. There's plenty of mics. And I couldn't do my talk. And the professors, by the way, pretended they were regulating this talk. But they didn't kick anyone out. They just said, "Please sit down." Just going through the motions. But they're implicit in all this. And I went over to the guy and I said, "Here's the microphone. Come on up. Let's have it out." And as I brought the microphone to him, the way I describe it is it was like radioactive dick. So as it got closer to him, he went, "Oh," and the sort of the whatever you call that meter, the radioactive meter was going closer to him, and he'd go, "Oh." And then when it got really near his face, he'd just cringe. And then as I walked away, "Whose campus? Our campus. Whose campus?" They got louder and louder.
Most American Antifa came out of the anarchist movement. They were anti-authoritarian. They wanted no government, maximum freedom. Today's Antifa will still claim to be anarchist, in fact have morphed into totalitarian communists.
You should own anything.
Please support communists.
Hey, I am legit.
What do you fucking think, dude? Do you understand? We're talking social justice and peace, but how are they planning on bringing about social justice and peace by putting bombs in places where they would kill innocent people?
Well, these guys actually believed that they were capable of overthrowing the government. they honestly believed that they were going to succeed, and that the only way to accomplish this goal of creating a communist society and government here in the United States was by strategic sabotage.
What impassions you to be involved in this?
My dad probably inspires me the most, just what he did and me seeing what's going on and how it reminds everything that happened to him. That's probably my biggest motivation, aside from the fact that I love this country. I love this country, and I'm watching it, in my opinion, I'm watching it fall apart. And I feel like I need to get in there and do something.
So your dad, Larry Grassfall, tell us a little bit about what he did back in the 70s that makes him so exceptional.
He was in Vietnam. He was in the 101st Airborne. When he returned from Vietnam, he went to University of Cincinnati, where he ran into the SDS, which was eventually turned into the Weather Underground Group, which is a domestic terrorist group from the 1960s and 70s. My father was the only FBI informant that was able to penetrate this group when they went underground. He was their runner. He would run messages between the Central Committee and other groups. And so he knew what the main characters in that group were doing at all times. He watched them plan bombings, watched them plan many acts of violence, and Antifa reminds me of the Weather Underground just 30 years later.
So one of the leaders of the Weather Underground, who I know your father knew very well, was Bill Ayers.
Yes.
The famous professor from Chicago.
Yes.
Who mentored Barack Obama.
Yes.
Bill Ayers was involved in the leadership of Refuse Fascism, one of the main Antifa groups nationally, actually.
Yeah.
A front for the Revolutionary Communist Party. How does that make you feel seeing that man, your father knew back then as a terrorist, now leading Antifa today?
Angry. I'm angry. This man should be in jail. Him and his wife, Bernadine, they should both be in jail. They should not be out. It makes me angry because he's out there pushing this, but not only is he out there pushing this now, he's been allowed to push this in our schools for decades. And I firmly believe that his teachings, just him and the liberal teachings, have made Antifa what it is.
Jack Posobiec is a highly controversial journalist, activist, and former Special Projects Director of Citizens for Trump. He has served several tours in the Naval Reserves as an intelligence officer. Jack uses his intelligence skills to track Antifa activities.
I'm not a Nazi.
What are you doing, man?
Hey. We were told 20 years ago that communism had collapsed, that communism was no longer a problem. Yet we see violence and anarchy on America's streets like we haven't seen since the 1970s. And at that time, we know it was communist-directed by the Weather Underground, the Communist Party, USA, and others. So why are we seeing this violent, communistic sort of activity today when it's no longer supposed to be a problem?
Because the Soviet Union fell, right? The Berlin Wall came down. Sure, it all happened. But the ideology of communism, the ideology of sort of those people in the 70s that you mentioned were out in the streets from a great part of the United States, certainly in the Democrat Party, those people that were out there in the 70s, Bill Ayers comes to mind, are now tied to the highest levels of the Democrat Party, the highest levels of the U.S. Senate, the highest levels of the U.S. Congress. They find themselves in many places, George Soros, you know, Wall Street, a billionaire. And so having this amount of money tied to those ideologies is now, we're now seeing that even though, okay, the government, the infrastructure of the Soviet Union fell, certainly, but the ideology of communism was not defeated.
While researching the funding of these radical groups, I came across information from the Capital Research Center. $50,000 was channeled to Refuse Fascism through the Communist Party aligned Alliance for Global Justice.
They received a $50,000 grant, which if you trace it back through sort of a liberal group, then a progressive group, then a globalist group, it actually goes back to the Open Society Foundation and George Soros. It's funny because it's almost like getting a game of whack-a-mole with George Soros, but it really does tie back to him in a lot of cases.
I sort of look at Antifa as the ultimate Cloward Pippin plan. But like the ultimate expression of the Cloward Pippin plan. And if you know the analogy, these were two professors at Columbia University in another era who took a look at America and realized she was never going to knowingly adopt Marxism because there's just too much freedom and prosperity out there. People aren't going to give that up without a fight, right? You know, so instead, overrun the system with victimology, overrun the system with bureaucracy so that the system collapses, and then they feel as if they have no alternative but to turn to government to save us. Antifa is after the exact same thing. Create enough chaos in the streets, create enough bloodshed in the streets, people lose faith in the government. Chaos is the friend of the Marxist.
Soviet communist leader Leon Trotsky, a master of propaganda, used the Soviet media to vilify all opposition to communism. Are there parallels with today's media?
I think the people who are doing the dangerous.
There you go. We'll get started back on this, and we'll move on from that. But you know, this just goes on to show. It shows how the communists want to bring down our country. You know, I know there were some issues there with Mao's not matching up with sound and all that, and I don't exactly know why that was, but we've never had that problem before, so I apologize for that. And you know, I don't really understand why people in this country want to go to this communist regime setup. I mean, Antifa, all these fascists, they're being paid by George Soros. They're being organized by, I would almost bet, the great community organizer of Barack Obama and his shadow government. And it's just troubling to me that they're trying to cripple and divide. You know, what the Bible says, a house divided cannot stand against itself, right? So I don't understand. You know, they're trying to divide our country so that we will fight each other and that we will fall. We will be crippled from the inside, and there will be no more United States. The one world government will have its free course and free reign over the world. You know, there'll be 10 regions that will be ruled by 10 kings with the Antichrist leading them. And, you know, it's completely troubling that people don't love this country, that they don't love what this country stands for, that, you know, we are the last hope as a country for democracy in the world. You know, if we fall, the world falls into chaos, into communism, into one world rule. Now, that is going to happen regardless. You know, and I just hope that the United States is one of the countries that troubles the Antichrist and his world government, that we don't completely give over to that rule, to the United Nations, that there'll be pockets in the center of this country that will remain. You know, we know, you know, I talked about this last week a little bit, I believe, you know, when the East and West Coast being destroyed. I just hope that the center of the country and areas around this country hold out and withstand and resist this communist one world government takeover. You know, it's sad. And I just hope tonight has opened your eyes and made you a little more awake to what's going on, to what is coming down the pipe, to what the goals of the people that want this country gone, what their goals are. You know, we need to be praying for our country, praying for our president, praying for our leaders, that especially our president, that he'll have the wisdom and supernatural revelation, supernatural wisdom to discern who is around him and what their goals are, and to make the decisions that will make it better for us when World War III starts, when the tribulation really kicks in, when the world government tries to come around and take over the United States. You know, we've got to have our hope and our eyes fixed on Jesus. If we don't, you know, the Bible talks about men's hearts failing them for fear during these times coming. And that fear to cause a man's heart to fail will be a great, tremendous fear. And if we don't have our eyes fixed on Jesus, on working out our salvation and preaching the gospel and leading others to know Jesus, then we'll die. I mean, that our hearts will fail us. And I just hope that you all take this stuff serious, that you really start getting in your prayer closet. You really start digging into the Word. You really start drawing close to our Savior. Because this stuff is real. These goals and agendas are real. The Bible foretells this stuff. And we need to be aware that this stuff is going on and that it's coming, so that we can be ready and lead people to Jesus and draw close to him, abide in the shadow of his wing. You know, we really, that is our only hope. That is our refuge. You know, we got to draw close to Jesus, draw close to God, and know beyond what you know that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the yesterday, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will protect us. He will heal us. And that's something that we've got to get hold of too. You know, in the days ahead, if you go to the hospital because you're sick, you may or may not come back out. You know, you may be carted off to a FEMA camp. You may be carted off. You may be killed. You know, they'll have these death panels which will decide whether you should live or die based on your age and sickness and longevity and all this stuff. So we've got to rely on Jesus to be our healer, our salvation, our refuge. And we got to turn to Jesus for our healing before we turn to doctors. Not to say that you shouldn't go to doctors, but Jesus should be our first call. Our prayers, our using the authority of the name of Jesus that he's given us. That should be our priority now and in the days ahead. Walking in the authority in the name of Jesus, being covered in the blood of Jesus, washed white as snow. Repent, turn from your sin, and draw close to Jesus. You know, that's the only way we're going to make it in the days ahead. And I just hope this has brought a little bit of light to you tonight. I just hope that you have gotten something out of it. You know, we'll be here Sunday starting at 11. The Lord willing and the internet working. The videos from Sunday are up on Facebook and YouTube now. Charter, man, they had a time on Sunday with outage all across the eastern seaboard, down through the southeast and all the way over into Texas and up into the Ohio Valley and all. I mean, it was crazy outage for Charter. So we weren't able to broadcast, but those videos are up on Facebook and YouTube now. So check those out. Be with us Sunday, 11 o'clock, right here. And then again Tuesday night for Prophecy Quake. Hope y'all had a good time tonight. I know I did. Y'all have a good week. We'll see you Sunday. God bless.
Listening to Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook us at Dean Odal Ministries.